you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
They see me rolling.
Uh-oh.
They hating. Patrolling. They trying to catch me riding dirty.
Trying to catch her riding dirty.
Trying to catch me riding dirty.
Trying to catch her riding. Bring us in, babe.
Welcome to Coco Caliente.
Nicole.
Yes.
Hypothetically, let's say you got a phone call today.
Okay.
Right. And it's, I don't know who does the casting for the show, but let's say it's the casting director for Survivor.
Okay.
And they say, Nicole, we think you would be perfect. Not Victor. We don't want Victor at all.
Right.
We want you, Nicole Franzel, to be on Survivor. And you have to go in 3 weeks. What would you say?
Yes.
You would say yes.
Yes.
Do you think you would do good on Survivor?
No.
Why not?
I'm an okay swimmer, but I don't like going underwater for a lot of challenges. So as far as like the physical aspect of it, I may be in trouble.
But okay, but that being said, how many of the challenges are underwater challenges?
Quite a few.
No.
That's what my mom says.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And for anybody that doesn't know what Survivor is, it's a show on CBS where you're basically left on an island with a group of people there to survive with whatever's on the island, and they maybe give you some rice and some stuff to start a fire, but you're basically surviving by yourself with those people. People get voted off each week. It's almost like Big Brother, but on an island.
And a lot harder. Even though it's one third of the time, I think it's a lot harder.
Yes, it is a lot harder. And I know people from that show, mm-hmm. right? We both do.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, it's tough because imagine doing these competitions with no food in your stomach,
right?
Basically dehydrated, mm-hmm. and then you got to go give it your all to maybe win some food or another amenity.
That's what I'm worried about, is being dizzy during competitions,
yes.
because of lack of nutrition. So I feel like to get ready for that, you'd have to go on like a really strict diet for 3 weeks of what... I don't know. I'd ask someone from Survivor what they're allowed to eat.
Well, they actually make you do the opposite. So the production will tell you,
really?
We need you to gain like 30 pounds or 20 pounds or whatever.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So yeah, because if you go over there already like
skinny.
Dropped weight, you're going to drop more weight, you know?
But you'd be used. Otherwise, you're going to feel so deprived.
Well,
I guess it's whatever you want.
Because it's a month, right? So your body's going to be eating away at that fat as best as it can for that month, because you're trying to
last
that time.
What really boggles my mind is that you really only get to wear the clothes on your back. Like when Caleb was on it and he was wearing like heavy jeans and crawling through the sand and like in the water because that's all he had. I'm just like, oh my gosh.
You'd have to cut those jeans into jorts.
Yeah. It's insane. Would you say yes?
For me right now, so I've been distant from social media
mm-hmm.
because I've just been distant from social media,
right?
I don't feel as it's as important as I
used to think it was.
Mm-hmm. And that also translates into reality TV and stuff like that. So right now I'm at a point where I might decline that offer, right?
Mm-hmm.
But is it something that maybe when I'm in my later 30s or 40s, if they came back and was like, hey, we think it'd be cool to do like,
yeah,
you come back and do like a Survivor, and then we can show like when you were younger on these other shows.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then it might be, you know, it'd be pretty cool, and it'd be a challenge at that age to do that, right? Mm-hmm. So I
could see you doing it at that age. Yeah. I could see my dad being really good at it, too.
Yeah, I could see your dad being really good at it, too.
I would just never say no, because I think the opportunity would be cool,
yeah,
whether I'd be good at it or not. I honestly think The Amazing Race is the hardest, like the least, out of the three, the least that I would be good at.
Oh, and actually,
I already did it.
And you've said you might not do it again. Well, compared to other ones, right? Like,
yeah,
you would
do
it
again
if they asked you.
If they asked me and you were my partner, absolutely.
But if it was like, would you rather do Big Brother, Amazing mm-hmm. Race, or Survivor?
Amazing Race was a big toll on my body, big toll on my mind, big toll emotionally. But so was Big Brother. It's different. And if I'm not on the block on Big Brother, I get the week off to chill.
Yeah. And on The Amazing Race, it feels like you're on the block
and
every
getting,
week.
And getting like when we got second 4 times, which is amazing, we didn't get a lead.
I know.
It was an equalizer immediately, which we're thankful for when we're at the back, but it's not like, oh yay, I'm like a day ahead of everybody else.
No, we never got that opportunity. Also, going back to the Survivor thing, my buddy was telling me, if you ever notice sometimes on the show when they're talking to people during competitions or other times during tribal council or whatever, and they seem like out of it, or they say something that's like off the wall that has nothing to do with that, and there's just little moments mm-hmm. that you pick up on that people think, oh, that person's weird. It's literally because they're malnutritioned, they're dehydrated,
oh, for sure. Who
and,
knows
and they can't think
say.
Clearly, you know, and they're like, wait, what?
They would really hate me because I would be the one that lets the chicken go. So
we're not eating, but okay, but strategically, you maybe want to keep the chicken because you want the eggs. You don't necessarily want to eat the chicken itself, right?
Okay.
You can eat.
But I thought you need, for a chicken to lay an egg, don't you need it to be like, you need a rooster?
Oh, here we go. This is a good conversation piece because this is a common misconception.
Does a rooster fertilize the egg and that's when it can hatch?
Exactly.
Your dad told me that, actually.
You'll still have the... Well, I knew that before my dad said it. So.
Your dad told both of us. You had no idea.
I did know. But yes.
No, you think like to make an egg, you need a male and a female. But that's not true, you're saying?
Yeah, because it's almost like it's the exact same thing as the female anatomy, right? You have an egg, which becomes mm-hmm. right your period because it doesn't get fertilized. So the same thing happens with the chicken. The eggs just come out and then.
But like cardinals and all those type of birds, they need to be fertilized, correct?
Yes. So yeah, it's all the same.
They don't lay eggs that are ever empty, I don't believe.
There's an embryo in there. It just needs to be fertilized.
But an egg doesn't come out that isn't fertilized.
Anything that correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that anything that lays eggs can lay eggs and not hatch if it's not fertilized.
Huh. Because I've never found a nest with eggs in it that haven't hatched.
Because
broken?
But you found a nest and that nest had to be made by, I think, a pair of birds, right? Because typically birds are in pairs, right?
No.
The mom will stay with the chicks or something. The dad will go find food and come
certain
back.
Certain birds only. Usually at the rake robins, it's the mom's job.
Oh, but what I'm saying is there's two parties, or maybe, you know, maybe they got divorced. Maybe the birds had an argument that day and you don't see them together. Maybe they're having a tough time. Maybe one bird has a mistress and then, so
just,
he's not there.
Do you get what I'm saying, though? I don't see like birds laying eggs that are unfertilized that don't hatch. Like you'd see them all over the place. Like where chickens, they lay an egg all the time.
What I'm saying is chickens are a domesticated thing. So if you don't want a rooster there, there won't be a rooster there. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like if you want the rooster there, then they'll be there and they'll be hatching eggs all day, right? But birds are wild and they find each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
They mate, fertilize, right? They become a pair and then they hatch little birdies and then whatever. I don't think a female bird just, because that's what they do in nature. That's why they're chirping all the time. Same with like crickets or all the other insects, like nature. They're looking for a mate and then they mate.
Do you get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying, but what I feel like what I'm understanding from what you're saying is that there's
the
a single independent,
nuts.
There's a single independent bird and she's just laying these eggs that are somehow getting fertilized on their own.
So the egg gets fertilized after it's laid?
Yes.
How?
I don't know.
But it's like in a hard shell.
I have no idea.
Are you sure the... Okay, we're looking this up.
We are going to Google this.
And then we'll put it in our outro.
This will be in the outro. So you don't have to wait too long for this. But anyways...
It is time for a FabFitFun box, which is one of my favorite times of the year. It happens 4 times a year. The FabFitFun box is a seasonal box that comes during all seasons. I love getting a FabFitFun box because there's a lot of products in there that I wouldn't invest in personally because I don't know if I'm going to like them. But they're full-size beauty products, lifestyle products.
That's actually my favorite part, that they're full size. It's not like the little sample size that you can just grab at the store. It's a legit full size item.
Yeah, and you can learn, do I like this product? I mean, I've switched to a lot of products through learning through the FabFitFun box. It's like, I like not knowing what I get, but if you are someone that likes to plan what you get, you can now go online and customize your box. They'll let you pick, say there's like an umbrella or a purse, and you have a really big preference, you can pick the umbrella or the purse.
Which is cool, because they didn't used to do that, and now that you can do that, it's like a game changer.
Yeah, no, for sure. And so I'm super excited to get the winter box, which should be here any day.
Because it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, so if you want to try the FabFitFun box, use coupon code Caliente, C-A-L-I-E-N-T-E, for $10 off your first box at www.fabfitfun.com. Use coupon code Caliente for $10 off your first box at www.fabfitfun.com.
Is it coupon or coupon?
Coupon.
Switching gears here, we have 2 Big Brother alumni guests.
The final two from last season 21, Holly and Jackson, the showmans that made it to final two.
Which is kind of crazy, and I guess we'll talk about that a little bit. How does a showmans get to final two, right? The odds of that happening are very slim.
And now they're more slim moving into the future.
Exactly. So we hope you guys enjoy. Well, we wait for this phone call from Jackson and Holly. I'm going to hit you with a fun fact. You ready?
Yep.
If 2 rats are in an ideal environment, and don't ask me what an ideal environment is, right? In the course of 3 years, there can be up to 438 million rats.
Ew.
Isn't that crazy? That's something that makes you think, right?
Oh.
That's a lot. You imagine 438 million. That's so many.
Where did you get that from?
So when people have their Instagram to where they see just like a bunch of people with perfect photos or perfect this and that or whatever, watching stupid videos, my feed is full of facts, facts, and memes, funny stuff. So,
and that's where you found that.
That was one. Another one that I read is this doctor, right? This doctor, he wanted to find out if there was, I don't know, a doctor or scientist. He wanted to find out if there was an actual soul, right? If the soul was a real thing. So an experiment that he did, he checked the weight of people right after they died, like the weight before and the weight right after.
FaceTime audio.
I knew that was going to happen.
All right. Okay. Well, I'll tell them in a second. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, Nicole.
Hey. Okay, I'm sorry, Jackson, about last time I did not hit record. I feel like such an idiot.
Don't worry. I'm the one handling the recording now.
Yep.
And
oh,
so
thank goodness.
It's definitely recording as I'm watching it. So.
Yes.
Good. We're in good hands today.
Yes.
All right, so let me hit you guys with a fun fact that I was just explaining to Nicole. This very random before, because we were recording before you guys called in, waiting for the call. So this doctor was trying to see if there was an actual soul, right? This doctor scientist. So what he did was he got the weight of people before they died and then after they died. And the weight was the same, about 21, I think it was like 21 grams difference.
On every single one?
On every person.
That's kind of weird. Okay. So you're saying the soul weighs something?
And yeah, that's what his hypothesis was. That did he prove it necessarily? I don't know. Could it just be coincidence?
I thought
you
would weigh more after. Well, don't they take y'all your organs still?
That, yeah. Without touching the body itself per se, just weighing the body.
That's how weird. Long have they been dead?
I don't know.
I think we're looking too deep into it. And I get what you're saying, Victor. I like that moral of the story. The soul has some weight to it. There is a soul in us. I like that.
Yeah, I mean,
I like the scientific part that there is one. Yes. Well, and then it's a weird way to come about.
I mean,
it.
You're getting dissected here.
So, are we talking about deaths between the hours of 12 a.m. and 6 a.m. or are we talking about
3
p.m.
to
7 p.m. Was it a rainy day?
What were the variables?
Was it a weekend?
If it was a summer solstice, obviously it'd be a couple pounds different.
Oh my god! So, I got your point.
Well, thank you, guys. I really do appreciate the encouragement with that one.
Yeah, that was a good one. I like that. Start the Sunday off right.
Well, welcome. Thank you guys so much for being, well, Holly, first-time guest, and Jackson, a second-time guest on Coco Caliente. What are you guys up to today?
What's the plan
for you guys today?
We're going to try to do as much nothing as possible because we haven't really gotten to do that much. So I think we're going to, like, go on a hike.
I'll be going to the gym at some point.
Yeah, he's going to go to the gym. We're going to take my dog out. We're going
to have a Sunday that's supposed to be like a regular Sunday.
Yeah, that's nice.
Attempts to turn our brains off.
Victor wants one of them so bad.
Okay. I will.
Yeah, your schedule seems insane.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty busy, but I will say that that is a very active Sunday.
That is.
When I think of doing as little as possible.
Football.
Yeah, exactly. I have my Saints jersey on right now. I am ready to drink some beer and watch football. And maybe if that's not happening, I'm on the couch regardless if I can, which never happens. But hiking does sound like the epitome of where do you guys live right now?
Los Angeles.
Exactly. LA. Perfect. Yeah. Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Let's be fit. Let's look good. Let's get some sun. Let's hike. The weather is really nice there too, probably.
The weather's nice. That's half the reason I moved here because Wyoming in November, I mean, I would probably still be hiking, but I'd have a lot more layers on. It's a lot less fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, so. there's some snow on the ground over here already.
Yeah.
Well, if you're not really California if you don't have a smoothie or a shake sometime today. So, at some point, we have Starbucks in hand.
I'll be honest, though, I'm from Nashville. I still wear my same beat up jeans and boots everywhere.
You wear cowboy boots?
Yes, I do.
That's cool. Yeah.
That's not changing. Even in Los Angeles, that's not going
to
change.
That's good. Stay true to your roots.
Built Ford tough.
Stay true to my boots.
So really, really appreciate you guys coming on the show. And we're just going to take it back to before Big Brother. I guess we'll just ladies first, right? So Holly, just kind of tell us what you were doing before Big Brother. What was life like for you?
So I've lived in LA for like 6 years. And I came out to California for college. I got a business degree. And then I worked in San Francisco. I was actually working in tech, in the financial district of San Francisco, and I hated it. Mm. So I, on a whim, went and competed for Miss Wyoming back home just to have something positive to focus on and a goal and something to actually work towards that I enjoyed more than work. So, ended up winning that and my life kind of took a little bit of a detour. And then I moved down to LA as an excuse to change up my life and not go back to the job that I was miserable at. Mm-hmm. So I moved down to LA and found the most random job in the history of jobs and started working as a safari guide on a vineyard.
A safari guide.
Do you know that she works on the Malibu farm that we tried to get tickets to when we were down in California that one time?
Really?
Yes.
No way.
You guys have to come back and do it.
Yeah.
It's honestly so much fun. They just started the company like right around the time that I started working there. So I kind of helped them get up off the ground as a startup.
So what is the criteria for being a, like when you go to apply to the job as, did it just say safari guide? Is that all it said?
Yeah. I literally found it on Craigslist one day when I was like,
Craigslist.
I was literally looking for like a bed frame or something. And I was like, oh, safari guide. Like, I was like, this is definitely a scam. And I had a job at the time. I was actually at that time I was working in litigation software sales. And
that sounds complicated.
Also hating my life. Selling multi-million dollar deals to top law firms in LA and hating it. And so I wasn't even looking for a job, but I saw that and I thought it was a scam. but there was a phone number because all that the company had was a flip phone cell phone at the time.
Oh my god! Like they
literally just started. So I called them probably 47 times. And one of the times somebody answered and I was like, okay, you're not real, right? And they're like, what do you mean? I was like, this is not a real job posting. They're like, yeah, it is. So anyway, it turns out it was real. I literally got in my car, went up there and was like, hi, you're going to hire me. And they're like, okay, we don't have any girls yet. So the criteria was pretty low when I started. But I mean, I grew up on a ranch around animals. My family has 100 horses, about 100 head of cows. Wow. And then, you know, every other species of animal has been part of our family at one point or another. So that made sense. And then I gained a curiosity for wine and I became a level one sommelier. And so it just kind of worked out. So I was there for 6 years. But again, started feeling a bit stagnant and needing a change. And I had a friend that kept pestering me about how I needed to go on Big Brother. And the deadline was rapidly approaching. And so I finally was like, okay, fine. I'll send in a submission video. There's no way I'm going to get cast. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, fast forward, here we are.
Okay. So Vic and I, it's time for us to almost maybe in a couple months, start registering for wedding gifts.
Oh, I'm so excited. Cause
or
I
wedding
love gifts.
Shower.
I think I'm just getting married for the gifts.
Yeah, shut up. And so the company we want to go through is Zola. Mm-hmm. It is the easiest way to plan your wedding and register.
Yeah. And we're going to be one of the million couples who've used Zola so far. So that says something.
I love that it starts with a free wedding website. It's so easy. It takes just minutes to set up and customize. Vic and I have been on the site, just looking, what do we think we're going to register for?
Yeah, exactly. And it's the only place you can register for honeymoon funds and gift cards along with physical gifts. So it has everything in one.
Yeah, and there's a frequently asked questions section that helps address awkward questions like, are kids invited? Do I have a plus one? Those can be, I'm planning a wedding and those are super awkward questions. So it helps you navigate through that as well.
Yeah.
It's the most helpful wedding registry ever. They'll make sure the process is fun and easy. They're the only place that you can register for honeymoon funds and gift cards along with physical gifts. I do know some people are like, we already have everything in our kitchen. We can't afford our honeymoon or we're not going to go on one. So that's something that they want and don't know how to ask for.
And Zola also has wedding invites. So they have thousands of designs for every style and color scheme and their prices are friendly. So, because I don't think wedding paper should blow your budget.
Yeah,
so they
sure.
help you out with that as well.
Yeah. So if you are interested in building a free wedding website on Zola and get $50 towards your registry, go to Zola, ZOLA.com/Coco and get started today. Build your free webbing. You want to go for it?
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Yeah. So okay. That's Zola, ZOLA.com/Coco, COCO. You know, so we highly encourage you guys to explore it. It's a free, you get the free site and the $50 towards your registry. So try it out.
So, okay. So I'm curious about the Miss Wyoming stuff. What do you have to do for that? Like, I don't know anything about being in a pageant, so I'm very curious about it.
I didn't know much either. I mean, Miss USA is pretty just old school, like a beauty pageant. So you're supposed to look good. So that was like going to the gym and eating healthy was a little hard for me, but I did that. But it's a lot about just presenting yourself and being well-spoken and articulate and up on just current events in general. I have never watched the news as much as during my reign as Miss Wyoming and read the news and read the paper and just tried to be as informed as possible. Because also a lot of it is engaging with your community. And I guess really doing the whole Miss USA thing, you get out of it what you put into it. So I wanted to actually take advantage of my year. And so I moved home to Wyoming full time and traveled the state. I would go talk to students in schools. I would talk to local organizations. I just kind of hit the ground running and would talk to people about the importance of the outdoors in our health and happiness, both physically and mentally. And so I just kind of did that because I wanted to, because it allowed me to have a platform. But really the requirements are swimsuit, interview, and gown. And so it's the same thing on the national level when you go to Miss USA. So once you win the state level, then you train to go to Miss USA. And if you win Miss USA, you go to Miss Universe. And so you have to look good in a dress, not fall on stage.
But were you always super well-spoken? Or is that something that you had to work on? Are you always...
My family has... I mean, all of us have always been pretty good with, like, public speaking. My dad's That's a politician. Good. My dad has been in the House of Representatives for Wyoming, and he's been the president of a bunch of different organizations. We were also raised around a lot of adults because we have a dude ranch where people come and visit from all over the world.
Oh.
And so the people working on our ranch and the people visiting our ranch were always a lot older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And not only were they older, but also I was the boss's daughter. So I always had to prove myself and be a harder worker and be more mature.
Right.
And so like at the dinner, at the dinner table, I was always having conversations with adults. So I had, you know, I think my sisters and I always were just.
Yeah.
So are the pageants anything like the movie Miss Congeniality? Because that's how I think everything is.
I think that Miss America is a little more similar to that, but no. Miss USA, because Miss America is a different organization than Miss USA. Neither one of them are like Miss Congeniality, but Miss USA especially is so laid back, and they like real girls, which is what I like about it. Like my year, there were hockey players and dentists and pre-med and just badass, you know, like a lot of the girls. We bonded over the fact that like we all like to ride four wheelers around our property and like get our hands dirty, and they were just very raw and real, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy because those things get intense. People have like walking coaches, talking coaches, fitness trainer. They're all the it's like etiquette training, all that stuff, and it's like wow.
It's weird. Yeah, it's weird. I flew to Texas for a makeup lesson.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't think I...
Yeah, that which you know. Changed. I learned that, like, eyebrows are a thing. you're supposed to wear lipstick. You don't just, like, put foundation over your lips for, like, a nude lip. Yeah, I learned a lot.
Yeah, and so also for that, with you, when you win, does that become, like, a job then? Like, say you won Miss USA. Is that what it is, or Miss America?
So
Miss USA.
Yeah.
Okay. Then does that become a full-time job or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They have an apartment for you in New York City and you move in.
Oh, no way.
And you go to work. Yep.
Oh my
and you're
gosh.
On salary.
That seems a lot more enticing now.
Oh yeah. I get it. Now. Yeah.
Yeah.
They
yeah,
also.
It's quite an experience. Also, I mean, I wouldn't know. I didn't win.
Also the sommelier, for people that don't know what a sommelier is. It's basically, if I'm not mistaken, you're like a wine connoisseur, right? So you know the pairings of wines with foods and cheeses and all that stuff. You know what goes good with what. And you were a level one, you said, or two?
Yeah. There's four levels, four being the one that's nearly impossible. I mean, even three is honestly insanely hard. Level four, it's either you're born with it or you're not. If you've seen the documentary Psalm, they cover guys, mostly guys, because it's actually a really male-dominated field also, which is interesting. I don't know if it's something genetically like in our palates, but it follows guys going for their Master Psalm because Master Psalm is nearly impossible. So I'm just a level one. I'll probably get my level two here soon, but... And then that's as far as I care to go.
How do you move up? Is it like a test?
To have a life. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a test. And you have to, I mean, you have to study a lot ahead of time. Just the level one was a 2-day course with a test at the end, but they recommend 5 years industry experience before even taking the test.
Oh, wow.
I've only known one sommelier in my life, and he was a really nice guy.
Yeah, they're nice. They're nice folks. I mean, if you love wine, you probably don't suck, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So switching gears. So then that was your road to Big Brother. Now, Jackson. So
yes.
what was your route to, I guess, eventually winning Big Brother? But before that, you know, how did that start for you?
So I actually went to the University of Tennessee and finished there in 2018. And I was supposed to go to law
school.
Wait,
did you just say 2018?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you're a baby.
He's a child.
He is a baby. So, oh, my God.
How old are you?
I was 23 a week before moving into the house. So wow. I just turned 24.
Well, I guess I'm not that much older than you.
You got to sell it 5 years on him.
Yeah, well.
Right?
You're okay.
Yeah, 24.
Who's older between the two of y'all?
I am.
He's a year older.
Okay. Yeah. But So you graduate 2018, then you're going to go to law school.
I was going to go to law school. I had some personal things came up where I had to take a year off. And all through college, I've been serving and bartending at a high-end restaurant in Nashville. And I had to take a year off. So I went back to that gig that I was only working, you know, summers and Christmas breaks because it was 3 hours away from where I went to school in Nashville. And, I was working there, and probably 5-6 months into it straight, I was just like, you know, there's a couple job offers here and there that have been presented to me while working at this restaurant. And it's like, yeah, I could either stay in Nashville and take one of these jobs and be very comfortable in a city that I've known my entire life and have a ton of connections in, and never really push myself, or I can do something different and just say, screw it. Take this year off as an opportunity to just put all your chips in one basket and see what happens.
Yeah.
So I picked February 1st and I packed up 4 suitcases, got a one-way plane ticket and flew to Los Angeles.
Oh.
Nothing lined up. No real friends or a job or,
I love when people do this. Cause it's just something I would never do, but I like love. It's so inspiring. Want to do it, but I can't.
Are y'all familiar with David Goggins?
David Goggins. No. Explain.
Anyways, he's a former, military, that he was, he's the only man to ever complete the Navy SEAL training, the, Air Force Tactical Control Training and the U.S. Army Ranger Training.
Oh, wow.
He set the world record for pull-ups. He's a badass.
Sounds like it.
he wrote a book called Can't Hurt Me, and it was one of the – it single-handedly, I think everyone should read it. It'll change your life for the better one way or another. But especially like if you're going through sort of like a rut, if you're in a bad spot. Well, he was a regular of mine at this restaurant in Nashville. He would come in there the time. And his big thing is talking about, you know, complacency and comfort in life will ultimately get you killed. You're going to, like, if you're not uncomfortable, you're not going to grow.
Yeah.
And Nashville was very comfortable for me. So I picked a city that was the most exact opposite of Nashville, Tennessee, and moved to LA. So that was February 1st. I'm looking for jobs online on Craigslist, and this is on February 10th. And I'm at a restaurant. I'm eating lunch by myself. I don't have a car. Got my apartment. Still haven't really unpacked yet.
Wow.
And I see an ad or I see a post. I get off Craigslist and I go to Instagram. And it's like 12:15 in the afternoon. And I see this post on the Explore page that said Big Brother. I just kept scrolling. And then I was like, wait, hold up. Scrolled back. And it was an ad for an open call, like a casting call. Mm-hmm. It was the first one of their casting season. And it was in Studio City. And it had 45 minutes left. It ended at 1 p.m. So I Googled it. I went on Uber and looked it up. It was like a $6 and some change ride. And it was like 15 minutes away. So I was like, okay, screw it. I'll go. So I went in there at 12:30. Mm-hmm. I went there at 12:30. They stopped the line right when I got there. And I was the last one in line. And there's a video that I actually sent. I sent to Casey of Big Brother 20, the winner of Big Brother 20, because she made an appearance there. She was from San Diego, so she came up for the casting call. Well, I had gotten there so late, she was on the way out. Well, my mom and I are Big Brother fans. Mm-hmm. And so I sent this video to my mom. It's a video of Casey, and then it kind of zooms out all the way down this long line. It shows me at the very back. And then it goes down, and it's my little sheet for my casting call, Big Brother 21 on it. And I found that video. I still have it. I sent it to Casey when I got out of the house. But it literally was on a whim. I've never thought about sending in a video. There was another show from another network that kind of reached out. And I never had any intentions of ever being on reality television. I don't care about fame or spotlight or you know, social media following. And, you know, in all my interviews, I told them I would do Big Brother even if there weren't cameras. I don't care about doing it for TV. I just like to compete.
Right.
So for me, that's how it happened. February 10th was the very first one of the season. 3 months later, I'm moving into the house. And then 3 months later, I'm walking out.
So crazy. Were you the youngest one on your season?
I was the third youngest, okay. I think. It was fourth. It was.
Oh, wow. You had a young season.
Sis, Ovi, and Bella were all 22, and then I was 24.
Oh, okay.
So backtracking real quick in Nashville, because Nashville intrigues me as a up-and-coming city, right? Mm-hmm. So have you seen that shift from, like, more small-town type thing? I mean, Nashville's a big town, but more like small-town feel to, like, now booming, like...
Overpopulated.
Oh, yeah. My mom was in real estate for 28 years in Nashville, and it was something for it might still be growing, but it was 70 to like 87 people a day moved to Nashville.
Jeez. Wow.
Oh, your mom was making bank, huh?
Yeah. Well, so no. Well, that's why we got out of. Anyways, so in Nashville, it's completely changing, but it's like the number one bachelorette party destination in the country. Mm-hmm. Has been for like 3 years now. Our infrastructure cannot handle it. The interstates are getting backed up left and right. It's not Los Angeles by any means, but it's getting to turn into like an Atlanta 2.0.
Yeah, because Nicole really loves Nashville, and she's been there several times. I've been there a couple times with her, and it's beautiful. It's awesome. And there's a lot of stuff to do.
It was just different the last time I went because it was so busy.
She felt, like it was overcrowded in a sense.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's insane.
I mean, it is super fun.
Especially on a big event weekend.
Yes. Yeah. It was kind of like, okay, where do the locals go? Because I can't really do this. This is too crazy for me.
Broadway. I mean, like Broadway on 4th of July, I think we now have one of the biggest national turnouts and the biggest of fireworks shows in the country. Jeez. It's, there are events bring in. We had the NFL draft that had over 350,000 people in town for that weekend.
How does that?
When I was there, there was the, was it the Stanley Cup finals or something?
We almost pulled out a championship.
Yeah. So I was there during that. And then there was also like, CMA Fest at the same time or something.
That was one of the biggest record setting nights.
Was that last summer? I was there too.
It was last summer because I remember I was going to work and they're like, "You going downtown?" I was like, "Hell
no!"
I was like, "I'm not getting anywhere near downtown Nashville."
Okay, so now, I guess we'll go right back into the Big Brother. So you guys are on the stage, ready to go in the house. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I was petrified. Like I was shaking and I was sweating profusely. How are you guys feeling? Like it's real. Like, you know, people think that you just get picked and you stand on stage and you go in, but you're like sequestered in a house for a week and doing pictures and doing information stuff.
Long build up. Yes. And a lot of suspense and a lot of sleepless nights.
So how did you guys adjust to that? Yeah. How did you guys feel like, oh my God, this is a lot more than I thought it was. And like, I've watched like 1,000 movies now in my hotel room.
Well, I was still convinced until I walked in the door that it wasn't real. I was like really downplaying it in my head because I was so scared of it not happening.
Mm-hmm.
And because I wanted it to so badly. Right. And so I was like, even standing backstage, like getting ready to go on. And I was like, they're going to come. They're going to take my bag. They're going to say, sorry, Holly, we found something in your background check.
I literally thought I was going to get replaced with an alternate too. I thought I was going to walk in.
Yeah.
I thought I'd walk in.
Yeah. I thought I'd get replaced. I had one friend that was at my key reveal that has a really big mouth. And I was like, her name's Nicole actually. And I was like, damn it. I know Nicole said something. I know she said something. Like I was so paranoid. Mm-hmm. I didn't even tell my dad that I was going because my dad knows everyone in my little tiny town. And he has a very big mouth. Mm-hmm. And I knew if I told him, then he would tell, you know, Sally down at the bank and I would be screwed.
Right. So, I had to keep it a secret. Well, my parents and my brother knew, and my best friend, but nobody else, because I was so afraid of like what you said, like getting it snatched last second. And because of someone telling someone else.
Yeah. That was the hardest part because it was like, I left everything I had, all my friends, all my family. Like we just graduated college together and I just picked up all my stuff. And everyone's like, what the hell are you doing out in Los Angeles? And I couldn't tell anybody the process I was involved in.
Mm-hmm.
But also the worst part was right before I got sequestered was like June 11th. Well, my birthday was June 13th. So I'm sitting there, not so much like I don't care about spending my birthday with people, but I felt so bad about not being able to tell my family members, hey, when, and I told my mom, I was like, you can't go on Facebook and tell our family, like, hey, the reason why he's not saying thank you for birthday wishes. Like, but in the hotel that day, I was sitting there just like gut wrenched. I was like, I can't even tell like my nieces and cousins and aunts and uncles thank you for the birthday wishes.
Right.
They're texting me and they're going in green and they're like, this guy's ignoring us on his birthday. So that's the
first thing people do with speculation is if they think like they've thought it's been an all-star season for the last like 10 years, I don't know. And yeah. So they just message everybody that they think would go on.
Oh, random
and they're
phone
like,
call.
They're just like, oh, it went through blue. We're good. You know, like if it goes through green, it's like, oh, they're in sequester. Cause I remember when I went back, they were trying to figure out which four house guests were going back. And I hadn't even seen the rumors of myself or anyone else. But, and they ended up figuring it out just because I think people would message.
Oh yeah, you guys will now be part of the gossip mill. Yeah. People are going to be messaging. You're going to be messaging people when Big Brother's going to start again. Be like, is he on? Is he on? Is he not responding?
I saw that me and Jackson were rumored to be on Survivor.
Already. Well, oh, hey, you know what? That is actually new news to me. I will not say no to that. Survivor, if you're listening, I would gladly take a vacation in the
vacation
tropics and be able to compete for 40 days.
Yeah, it was me, you, and one other person. I can't remember right now who it was, but it was just
probably Victor. No,
it was just cracking me
up.
Nicole
and I were literally just talking. That was part of our intro, talking about how well or not so well she would do on Survivor, which I think she'd be super entertaining.
Entertaining, yes. Good, no.
So. I love how he said, yeah, super entertaining. I think she would be like super fit for this. Like this is exactly what she did. Like, super entertaining.
He's seen me Victor, a lot I think we when should I'm be angry.
I think we should be a little offended that we were not rumored to be on Survivor.
Yeah, I'm so far gone from all this stuff. I'm just like, I don't care anymore.
That's so funny, though.
I just want redemption. I want to go back on something when I can win.
Yeah, I felt that a couple times.
Second place, though, is really a freaking crazy. Okay, how did you two make it to final two?
Oh, yeah. Let's just skip to that real quick. Yeah, let's do that because that's impossible.
I don't know. I feel like it was like the Matrix, like the bullets that we were dodging in there. It blows my mind.
Yeah, by the skin of our teeth.
It was like
a showman's. It's a death sentence, and we somehow narrowly escaped death in that house.
How did the showman start? Did you guys see each other and like sparks just flew and just, or was it like did it just over time just kind of like
friends to like then like this is more or.
It was, well, I mean, obviously I noticed her on stage. I noticed her on stage, but like when we introduced ourselves, I was a total freaking dork. And I still like every guy has had these moments where like, you know, usually you're pretty good with your words, but then you have these blunders with like a girl that's actually important to you and like really is somebody you want to impress. And when she first introduced herself to me, she goes, I'm Holly. I go, oh, I'm Jackson. She goes, my dog's name is Jackson. I go, oh, I'll be your Jackson. And she looked at me like, this freaking 24-year-old, get out of my face. It was like a get out of my face. And then it was like almost like her, I don't know, I'm not going to speak for her, but it seemed like she was trying hard like not to like me. And it didn't start out from the get-go because like we just kind of formed over mutual frustrations with our alliance. And then personal feelings kind of started coming into play.
Yeah, I saw him and the first thing I like laughed. I literally saw him. We were dressed identical. It was just, I was the girl version. He was the boy version. Yeah. Like, he was wearing like the blue top, the jeans, the boots. And I was like, haha, typecast much. And I like giggled. I saw him and I was like, oh, here we go. And then I met him and he's like, I'm Jackson. I'm 24. And I was like, okay. Yeah. So no. and like, that was it. Like, out of my mind. And I was like, yeah, I'll be friends with this guy. And we were, we started out as good friends and ended up in the same alliance. And like Jackson said, we pretty early on had very mutual frustrations with Grateful. And so we just became closer on a game level because of that. And then on a personal level, we always just got along really well and would always kind of turn to each other, as friends. And you guys know how any sort of relationship, any sort of dynamic with anyone in the house is just so expedited mm-hmm. because you're spending so much time together.
Yeah.
Right. So we were the last showmans with any person, like you immediately know, like their entire life story
for sure.
And so like we became so, so close as friends right away. And then, we were the last showmans to get together, which is crazy. But even still, it was like 3 weeks in, you know, mm-hmm. and it was like day 18, actually, that I realized I had a crush on Jackson, which sounds like nothing, but in game terms, it was a long way in.
Yeah, that's like 6 months.
When you're up 18 to 20 hours a day.
Yeah.
When you're awake for 18 to 20 hours a day and you're spending it with someone else, 18 days, I mean, I don't know the numbers on that, but it's at least a couple months worth of time in an average day and how much you spend with somebody uninterrupted.
No, for
uninterrupted
sure.
time.
I for mean, sure. me and Vic spent how many days together and I didn't fall for you until the real world. I'm just joking.
Yeah.
No, for real. He drove me nuts.
I fell for, I actually fell hard head over heels for Paul.
Me and Paul,
we spent so much time together and talked so much that it got to a point where we would start telling a story and be like, you told me that one. The one with the hat. Yeah, and then you went over here.
Yeah.
No,
well,
I know.
Yeah, but can I hear it again, though? I just hear a laugh.
Like you've heard it seven times, but you also don't mind because you're that bored.
And you really like that. So go ahead, babe. Go, Paul. Just go ahead. Just tell me the story again.
I'll pretend
I don't know. Oh my God, really? That happened? Wow.
You guys were dangerous showmans, you and Paul.
Yeah, the
bromance, so whatever you
were. Bromance. Yeah,
they were very because they were both. Paul was so intelligent, and I feel like always the youngest person wins almost every season. I feel like that's kind of a thing. And the fact that he was a year younger than me, I was very like, oh, we got to watch Paul. And then Victor was just a physical beast. So they were the most, I had to paint them as like the biggest, even though they weren't a showmance, they were the most strongest duo in the house. And so.
Oh, for sure. That's why I would like distance myself. Cause in the beginning I was like really close with Sis and I was like, okay, I'm already going to have a target because of my closeness with Jackson. So I distanced myself from her a lot because that's the thing. It doesn't matter. Showmans, bromance,
friends, romance.
I was like, what a romance. We called it a
womance.
But it's like, even I didn't want to have a womance even with Kat. I tried really hard to pretend like I hated her. It didn't work. People still figured out we knew each other, but we suck. But bromance and womance.
So what was the hardest part for you guys being in that environment? Because, you know, people don't understand how difficult it can be to live there, especially when the excitement's gone that you're in there and then you're just like, all right, this is another day.
And especially in a relationship.
Yeah. So what was it for you guys? What became the most difficult thing?
For me, claustrophobia. Mm-hmm. I grew up on a ranch. Working here in LA, I work outside on a vineyard. I'm always, always outside. And being stuck in a house, because viewers don't realize, you know, you guys get how much we're inside, you know, only having the yard a couple days a week was rough.
Mm-hmm.
And just the mind numbing boredom.
There's a GIF of Holly that says, I'm so bored, I literally don't want to do anything. Just sit there.
You're absolutely right, because I remember like, okay, I'm in the kitchen, I already ate, like there's nothing to cook. I can go sit in this room or I can go sit in that room. I don't feel like talking to this person. There's nothing to do. I can go upstairs and it's the same song and dance.
I will admit though, I have never been bored in the Big Brother house. Never.
What?
Never.
Don't
give her that much credit. She might just be weird.
She's the anomaly in the situation.
Yeah.
For me, it was, and I'm sure Victor could relate, was the lack of exercise.
Yes. Yeah. And I've talked about this time and time again, where you tell yourself, I'm going to work out all the time. And then you get in there and you're just like,
well, you've got that little rink-a-dink
if you want to call it a gym.
Yeah.
A gym and those bikes that, like, anyways.
Yeah.
You know my point.
Yes.
And then, like, one night I asked, can I bring some dumbbells inside before the next, like, 5 days are cooped up? Like, yeah, we don't know. So I walked out there like 4:45 right before they shut the gates. And I was like they let me bring in all the dumbbells right when I set the last one down. Stop that. And I was like, okay. So, like, the lack of exercise was definitely the hardest thing for me on an individual level. But like on a duo level for me, as far as our relationship, the hardest thing was not being able to openly discuss things from our past that make us tick and bother us and hurt us, or when I say us, I mean me.
Yeah.
They, like, I can't fill her in on the reasons why if she does X, it leads to this Y reaction. You know what I mean? And because there's things about my past that I don't want the whole country hearing. So it's like, for me on a relationship level, as much as we were just talking about, you know, you get to know somebody, there's still like the deepest, darkest things that make us at our core, we aren't able to share until we finally are able to take our microphones off. And that's never in the house. So it's like, you know, you spend 2.5-3 years of time with this person, but have never been able to talk about, like, why you have the scars you have, and like why you have the past experiences and the relationships and the things that bother you and the things that you look for and, like, the things that are, you know, a turnoff for you and things that, like, kind of bother you. Like, we can't talk about that. So that was the hardest part on a relationship level, because it's like, there's so many times I just wanted to explain something.
Like,
but
it's not like you, Holly, it's like this. Reminds me of this, and it leads to this, and then she would, and then, I mean, I would be like, well, I'm doing something wrong, but really,
you don't know why.
That's definitely really difficult. That's a really great point.
Yeah, because it's like, we're not in a relationship with each other. We're in a relationship with each other and the 7 million Americans at home on their computers taking notes of the exact camera and the minute, the second that we say something. It's like, and no one else in my life signed up to be on this show. So why, it's not fair for me to bring them into it, you know? So it's like, I'm not going to talk negatively about somebody or say a story about somebody that's not on the show. That's not cool. So there'd be things that, like, I would do to her that would upset her. And to me, it's like, why are you reacting this way? This doesn't make sense. But then there would also be things that she would do to me that I would just lose my cool on and, like, would really bother me, but it didn't seem like a big deal to her. Because we couldn't share those things, you know?
For sure.
That was the hardest part on a relationship level for me, at least.
Because having a relationship with the fast forward button on the entire time is one thing. And then not having, it's a weird, again, claustrophobia, because it's like you want to say these things, but you're, like, trapped. Your words are trapped. It's like you are physically trapped in the house and your words are physically trapped inside of you, because you just can't share. And a lot of it, you know, because a lot of our, like, trigger points and things are things from our past, and it's hard to know that, because, you know, we're two people who, like, seemingly have an easy life and have it all together, and it's like we've both been put through the ringer.
Yeah, and it's far from the image that people think that we are.
Oh, 100%.
And it's like, but we don't want to discuss our scars. We don't want to discuss anybody from our life or our past.
Yeah, your vulnerabilities. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's... Yeah, and just, you know, our things that we're still healing from, we don't want, you know, to open up at
I mean, people who spend their lives together, it might even take them 10 years to open up to their significant other when they're ready. It's definitely not something you want to explain to all of America. Totally makes sense.
And we knew, I mean, not to the extent, but, like, we knew that everything we said would be scrutinized, and definitely not, I didn't realize the extent of that. I didn't realize
it's getting worse with every season. It's just worse with every season.
With the, with the social media boom. And speaking of which,
Twitter is just don't even, I use mine for animal stuff, and
I don't know.
Victor got rid of his.
I got rid of mine.
I nuked mine before the show. I'm never making another one.
Yeah,
I don't use it.
I changed mine to our podcast because I didn't like having a personal one. But speaking of which, how are you guys adjusting to your newfound? And I say this because
just say fame, Victor.
No, I don't like saying
strong
fame.
Term.
Right, that is a very strong term. So, our Z-list celebrity status in the realm of reality TV. How are you adjusting to that?
I like that you say Z list. I always struggle at what letter. Because people are
we're like middle of the pack.
Okay, but you get what I'm saying. Like, if you're on a high horse and you call yourself like a celebrity, it's like, okay, we're in a segment of society.
Just being like humble.
There's a gif of me that Pop made where I'm at the kitchen table like hysterically laughing and making fun of all of us, and I'm like, we're just a bunch of D-list celebrities.
Yeah.
You suck. Like, we're not anything.
Yeah.
Victor's like, we're Z.
Everybody says D, and I'm like, I don't know, would it be like G or like maybe like M? Because I'm with you, Nicole. I'm like, yeah. I feel like we're like middle of the pack. Yeah. So I always like say a different letter every time I say it.
Okay, I will say reality TV is very popular. So there is a lot of people that watch it. So I'm just saying for the general purposes of what I'm trying to say, like, yeah, we're not all-star, you know, red carpet, you know, type of deal. But how are you guys, you know, getting out of the house and getting all these followers and people recognizing you on the street and stuff like that? How are you guys adjusting to that?
It's a weird thing. Like, when people recognize us, the thing that strikes me is just like, wow, this experience meant so much to me. And playing the game, I was so passionate about it and tried so, so, so hard and gave so much of myself to it. And it's so bizarre seeing other people care about it. It's like, well, wait, like I knew that I cared about the game. Like, I just wanted to play it for me and to prove to myself that I could, and to prove to myself that I can compete and that I can be physical. And then to see other people so invested and like know so many details and be excited to meet us and hear about the experience. It's like, whoa, like, I just thought this meant a lot to me. Yeah. This is so cool that you share in this passion for it. So that has been a really humbling experience. And we love, like, when people come up and talk to us, we love talking to them, especially if they're like gamers and they know what was going on. We're like, oh, okay, we will talk game with you. This is so cool.
That is neat.
On the flip side of that, there's the hate, you know, which obviously you guys have experienced. And it's harder than I think I realized, because you don't realize that every move you make, every breath you take is just being torn apart.
That sounds like a song.
I
write a song. Well, see, I wrote a song in the freaking Big Brother house. I wrote a song about the castmates and the house and like the little funny inside jokes about the house. And writing a song is hard when you don't have a pen and paper, but I just memorized
I retweeted that and said, the fact that Holly can remember this should be scaring every mother freaking house guest in there. She should be, she should be a target now, because it was so like, how the freak did you do that?
And they still didn't think that I was a mental threat.
Oh my gosh.
Thought I was stupid even after that. I love it.
That's good. That's
when I saw that, I was like, wow, she is a threat.
But still nobody thought I was. Cliff still
Which is a great thing, which is great. That's what you need to do. Yeah. To be a threat, but not like let people know you're a threat.
I don't think Jackson like underestimated me, but I was even like lying to Jackson about some stuff. Anyway, because like he was still my competition, but yeah, like that song, for example, I got shredded on Twitter Facebook, like ripped apart. Because my outfit sucked.
I thought you were wearing overalls. It was so cute. I think people were
like, I wore overalls every day. Whatever. Anyway.
Oh, I didn't. I never saw anything. Honestly, I never saw anything negative about that song at all.
I made the mistake of like, it popped up one day. Somebody was like, oh, I found your video here on like Facebook. And that was just on Facebook. I also saw it on Twitter, but Facebook people ripped me apart, and I was like, Facebook's supposed to be a nice place.
Yeah, exactly.
But like saying how horrible my voice was, and I was like, you guys, I didn't say I was a singer. I'm a Big Brother contestant. Like, what the heck? And then like ripping Tommy apart for being my backup dancer, being like, oh, of course he's up there. He's an attention whore. And I was like, I asked him to be.
Yeah, you guys are just like, you can't even listen to that stuff. The thing is, I will say that the Big Brother community, or like the people who watch the show, they make their mind up quick, and it's really hard to turn or change their mind. Okay. Cause I loved watching you on the show. I loved you. I loved your character. I loved everything about you. There was nothing that I could critique, but the fact that they wanted to hate you, they're going to hate you. If that was Nicole up there singing the song, they wouldn't have said, like anything because she was so loved.
Exactly.
I've seen that where people, depending on who it is, they could do the exact same thing
and get away with it.
Yep. So, I mean, that song, there was nothing bad about that song. Like you, you were, it was so goofy and fun and entertaining. Like they should have been happy they had something going on live feeds.
Something. Yeah, exactly. I was like, well, we're so bored. We're just trying to help. But yeah, by that same token, like Nicole would go into the DR and at one point she told Jackson to go F himself. Mm-hmm. It's like, can you imagine if one of us went in there and said that about her?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's another thing. Yeah. It was like, I when I saw that, I was kind of like, ooh, like, cause I've never, I wouldn't swear like that, but I was like, ooh, they like love it because it's about someone they don't like. Just like when Paul was, come on, puppies are barking. I'm too into this convo to go get them, but it's kind of like when Paul wasn't liked on season 19, the America loved, the people who hated him. Like Cody became America's favorite, I believe, because he hated Paul. Right. So it's absolutely insane. If you would go with or against the person that America likes, that is how they feel about you. And in that house you have, you don't know, and you don't want to base your game off of who you think America likes.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, and I mean, well, and I loved Nicole. We always got along really well. We got super, super close at the end because she and I were really similar in the fact that we like internally were a lot alike. We function a lot alike. I told her a few times, she's like, cause she's 24 also, as well as Jackson. And I was like, you are very similar to me at 24, to Nicole. And that's like the year that I competed in Miss Wyoming and pushed myself outside of my comfort zone and did a lot. And there was just a lot of self growth. And I was like that moment for me, I was like, this is like your moment of that pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone and struggling and competing and thriving. And she and I have a lot of similar like social anxieties, and felt really overwhelmed by the big personalities in the house, but we just were very different on the exterior. But we're a lot alike. But anyway,
We have no idea who America likes.
But like, I was friends with her, but not because I thought America liked her.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like,
it's a weird.
We have no idea what America thinks. The only thing I knew for certain was that I was not America's favorite player. I would constantly say, and Christy and Sis were very, very much like, I refuse to believe America doesn't like us. I'm like, dog. America doesn't like us.
We
are ALFP, America's least favorite players. You don't vote people that you like into these kind of situations. Which, like, there's a clip of me in the pool saying, I didn't come here to become friends with 7 million people. I came here to win $500,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was, like, that's just how I operate. I'm very intense. I'm very aggressive. I'm very abrasive. But especially in a competitive standpoint. Mm-hmm. And this is where, like, I've tried to explain to people in person that, you know, yes, as much as people think that they've seen me live for 100 days, it looks like a house. Well, really, it's a studio set that is very kind of flimsy and not a house at all. Yes, you feel like you've watched me 24/7 on camera, which you have, but you haven't watched me live. You've watched me compete. Mm-hmm. And there's a very big difference and like competitor on the field me and off the field me. And you know, like any athlete will tell you that, you know, like you could be going up against your best friend on the field, but you're gonna knock the shit out of them, not feel bad about it, and then you'll go get dinner after and you'll be best friends with them again.
Yeah, be like, hey, you know, sorry for like, that, buddy.
Yeah, like when you step on the field, you got a job to do. Like if we're gonna, you know, have a boxing match where it's going to be a football game and or a baseball and I'm pitching, it is me versus you, and I came here to win, and then I'll deal with the friendship side afterwards.
Yeah,
but I don't take things personally either, you know what I'm saying? I would expect anybody to do what they have to do to win, and I would do the same. And that's how my mentality is. Granted, I have a lot of things I need to work on, and that's the beauty of being on camera for 100 days is that, you know, I just turned 24 and I'm very lucky because not many 24-year-olds can see themselves from a third point of view around the clock and see all their good and bad traits. So as much as I do have to work on, there's also a big difference between me living life and me in the house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And and people say, you know, they have these opinions of me, and that's fine. Everyone has their opinions of me, but y'all haven't gotten, not saying y'all in particular, but the people that dislike me, y'all haven't given me a chance outside of the house. You never had a conversation with me. No. And that's okay. I'm not here to please everybody. But like you said, you know, it's nerve wracking to think that America, the country that you love, it could very much hate you for all you know. You have no idea.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree. Yeah. You, when you're in there, you're so secluded from everything. You have no idea. You're just doing the best you can. And then you figure it out when you're out of the house.
But I mean, I had a gut feeling because, like, again, I know my personality, and it's not a very politically correct one. You know, the whole, like, everyone deserves a trophy, and, you know, everyone deserves to be, like, I'm very much a competitor, you know what I mean? It's like, we have one winner, 15 losers, and I knew going into it, I was like, I'm going to rub a lot of people the wrong way, you know, and that's okay. But, again, I had no idea, you know, that there were going to be other things that came with it. That, those are what really caught me off guard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, so you guys get out of the Big Brother house and your relationship stays healthy. And so what's going on now? Y'all live together. What's the status of your relationship? What's going to happen in the future? What do you guys got planned?
I don't know. Are we in a relationship thing?
Well, I guess we are now. Thanks, Victor. No,
it's so funny. I was laughing at, we've gotten like some DMs of like, hey, like hit me up when this publicity stunt's over. And we're like, oh,
okay. Is this a
publicity stunt? I'm like, oh, wait, Hulk, this is a publicity stunt for you? Oh, okay, cool. Sick. I had no idea.
Thanks. Oh, all right, cool. I guess what's like the expiration date on this thing? It's cool. I mean, obviously you guys know, like, getting out of the house, how, like, obviously your relationship started after the house, and like in a whole new way, and like transition. And so you get how different things are outside of those walls. And it was the same for us. Like, I really didn't know in the house. I was like trying to be really realistic. I was like, you know, this man is really important to me, but will it work realistically in the real world? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe not. I mean, there's 7 years between us and life is just different. And so we said early on, before anything physical ever happened to us in the house, we were always really transparent with each other. And like, we even had a conversation when we started getting a little flirtatious. We were like, okay, if we start anything, we have to make sure that our friendship always comes first. Mm-hmm. And regardless of what happens in the house or outside of the house, we want to remain friends. And even in the house, we would say that we were like making plans of things to do and travels to go on with each other. And we said, even if we're not together, we still want to travel and have these experiences together, even if it's just as friends. And I kind of in my head was bracing for impact, thinking that we would really only be able to make it as friends. And then we left the house, and being in the real world and getting to be vulnerable and learn about each other at a deeper level and spend real quality time. We've been like inseparable, like really inseparable. It's kind of disgusting.
Yeah. I was in Dallas for like a boys weekend, and I was like having separation anxiety. I'm like, what the hell is going on? This doesn't happen. Like, I don't feel these things.
Constantly like, looking at your phone, on? Just, hey.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in a club next to G-Eazy 3 feet away from me, and I'm, like, FaceTiming Holly. Like, hey, Holly, I miss you.
That the like, house does that to like, you.
Yeah, we're disgusting. So yeah, we've been, like, attached at the hip since we left the house. And, yeah, we'll see. We're having fun right now. We're traveling.
We don't, to answer your question, we don't live together.
Okay.
We're very close to each other, but. I moved in February to Hollywood just because of a mutual friend. I'm like, he had an open room. Well, he ended up becoming one of my best friends. He's been like the 17th house guest for our season.
Cause I'm friends with his roommate, ironically.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Like I've known his roommate for like 2 years.
Yeah. She had been in my apartment, the one that I moved into before I ever moved to LA.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And I followed her on Instagram. She used to live in Nashville before this. Like there was a lot of music.
Oh, you were following her on Instagram before you went on Big Brother? This,
like 2 years ago.
There's so many connections on this season. It freaks me out. Like I thought it was going to be a twist or something.
Yeah. Like, and like Ovi and I, our classes maybe had 10 to 15 people, and we had multiple classes together. I had never met them.
Wow. Granted, I mean, like, I didn't go to class as much as I should have, and I was usually in the back, so I probably wasn't looking as much. I mean, I did well in class, but I did well in school, but I just never, like, went to class as much.
We were both those students.
Yeah, I never bought a textbook in college once. Never bought a single textbook.
You saved a lot of money.
Tried to save a lot of money, but also, like, if I wasn't in class, I was in the library working on stuff. I wasn't just, like, sleeping in, and I was either working out or in the library. I was doing something productive, but
I was always just not going to class.
Yeah, Holly and I, we don't live together, but we live close, and I'm trying to move closer to Marina Del Rey, Santa Monica. I need to be near the water. That's nice. The whole reason why I moved to Los Angeles in the first place. And for me, like, as much as I love LA, the reasons why I like LA are a lot of the same reasons why I dislike LA. Again, I just needed something different. But for me, living in the center of Hollywood is just, it's too much. I don't mind being in Hollywood on the nights or, like, coming here for events and things like that, but I want to be looking at a beach when I look out my window.
Hey, you know what I mean? Beach, I want to be beach able to bumming train on the beach. It, sun-kissed. Yeah. That's the California dream. I want to be within
running distance of my gym, which is Gold's Gym Venice. So, Victor, I know you're familiar with Gold's Venice.
Yes, I've worked out there a couple times. Yep, for sure.
Yeah, so that's my gym. So it's like, I want to be within running distance because you can't drive 10 miles in Los Angeles. That'll take 3 hours sometimes.
Oh, for sure. You have to be within walking distance of where you want to be.
Of everything. Yeah, and so it's like, for me, everything is on the water. Everything's not in Hollywood. Everything's on the water. That's what I want. Mm-hmm. So just trying to figure that out. I'm on a month-to-month lease, so I might end up crashing at Holly's for like a month or two figuring out things, but living together, not quite to that point yet, just on our personal standpoint for both of our lives. Not, yeah. We know we could do it. We know it's possible. We did it for 100 days.
Right.
It's just like where our lives are at right now. It has nothing to do with the relationship, just strictly personal, and then that's it. But no, we're very much going strong. So,
hey, that's good. We're really happy for you guys, and we really appreciate you guys coming on the podcast
today. And
hope that
we can double date sometime.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If y'all ever, yeah.
This winter, when it gets nice and icy cold out there, at least you know you have places to stay.
Or if y'all ever want to go out in Nashville, I got quite a few connections. I know the city at the back of my hand, and I'd love to take us out on Broadway and show you the ropes.
Yeah, that would actually be really fun.
That would be fun, and somehow we always end up in California, Nicole and I. Somehow for some reason, it's never planned, it's just happened. So if that does happen, we'll give you guys a buzz.
Good stuff, man. Yeah. There's a lot of the Big Brother family out here too. Have a little good old Lakers game or something like that.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. Robin Kess.
Thank y'all so much.
No, seriously, thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Heck yeah.
And Nicole will hit you up. We're gonna have some cool art for you guys, and you guys will really love it. Little cartoon versions of yourself.
Oh, great. That'd be great.
Thank you guys so much, and have a good rest of your day.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
So Nicole was right and I was right. So I was wrong on one thing, but I was right on the other thing. So Nicole, go ahead.
The egg is fertilized internally in birds. So
yeah. So basically,
you don't lay the egg and then it's fertilized.
Yeah, but they do just lay eggs if they're not fertilized.
True.
And it's all birds.
True.
And some mammals. And some bony fish, and so it depends, but it's all birds for sure. That's how that works.
Mm-hmm. So for people that the misconception would be that you're eating a baby bird, but if they said a lot of times, like the eggs that you're buying at the store, for instance,
were never fertilized,
so they will never turn into a baby chick.
Yeah, it's not like you can warm them up.
So if you have your own chickens, like in the backyard with no rooster, then
you're not going to hatch any.
You're not eating chicks.
Yeah, that's very true. And now to close out the episode.
Yep.
As we always do, we're going to read the reviews because you guys are the best people out there. Our listeners are awesome. We appreciate you. Mm-hmm. And this is us showing the appreciation.
Yep. This one's called Snuck Up On Me by SpongeBob Reviews.
SpongeBob.
It says SpongeBob.
I know, but SpongeBob. That's
I'm thinking your name's Bonnie. SpongeBob?
I don't know.
Okay, I don't typically write reviews, but y'all seem so appreciative of your reviews that I can't help but want to. I first started listening because I loved you both on Big Brother, then I was excited to hear the interviews from the amazing racers, and now, even if it's a topic that I don't feel applies to me, I listen because y'all still make it interesting. With Weird and Normal, I can always side with one of you and find myself talking out loud to agree or disagree. One of my favorites was when Victor... said how he enters a shower one way and exits out another.
We've read this review before. I remember reading this review before.
We did?
Yeah, I do remember.
Well, I didn't read it. Okay, I'll pick a different one. Hold on.
No, you're good. But see, we do go through all of them. So it's not like we stay just to the top ones. We scroll down and find other ones.
I do scroll down, but there's a lot I haven't read. Okay.
I know.
How about this one? 10 out of 10. 5 stars. This was just newly posted from Ryan15Watt. This podcast is unlike any I have listened to. First of all, I have been a fan of Nicole since the second I watched her preseason 16 Big Brother interviews.
Likely to pick that one.
Thank you.
Huh?
I haven't read it yet. It's my first time. I then was so happy to see her back on season 18. That's when Victor comes into play. Victor is such a man. I legit feel like I could be bros with him. You two are so down to earth, and I feel like I'm partaking in the conversation with my friends. Keep it up, and I hope to see one of y'all, if not both, on Big Brother again. Thanks for filling my weeks with pure conversation about real life. Thank you, Ryan. You rock.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So this one is from Luxo Flynn. It's like hanging out with friends. Five stars.
I read that one.
Thursdays are my favorite day of the week. That one?
Mm-hmm. I remember saying that name. You scrolled way down.
Really? Man, we're just butchering these reviews, huh? It's not that we're butchering them. Is that we just find them and they're so awesome. Are you sure you read
that
one?
No, I haven't read that one.
I know. I was about to say, I've never heard.
I don't think I did.
See, don't try to do to me what I did to you.
They're all so good. No, seriously, I have read one, I thought.
Thursdays are one of my favorite days of the week. As a stay-at-home mom, I don't get out much to socialize, but listening to your podcast feels like I'm hanging out with friends. It always brings happiness to my day. Smiley face. Can't wait to see the shirts.
Oh, yeah, I don't think we did.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I picked that one, because we took pictures today of the shirts, and we recorded this one in advance, so they're out already, but hope you guys like the shirts. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much for tuning in.
You can rate,
review, and subscribe. The easiest ways on that little purple app on your phone is Apple Podcasts. Mm-hmm. And you can listen to this anywhere you listen to podcasts. So Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. And you can always go to www.cococalientepodcast.com. You can listen there. And you can also check out the new merchandise, logo, mug, shirts. And you can always follow us at Coco Caliente Podcast on Instagram or at Coco Caliente Pod on Twitter.
And also, we didn't have time to do a weird or normal or Spanish word of the day today. We apologize. The conversation ran a little long, but it was a great conversation. But again, if you have any suggestions on weird or normal, please send them my way.
Yes. DM us. The easiest way is to send DM on our Coco Caliente Instagram or Twitter.
Yep. Thank you.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.